Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Aircoy Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
It's time for the Roundtable with Round Daddy.
Hey, Round Daddy.
The Roundtable with Round Daddy.
Me, James Strebel, Big Daddy.
With your host, James Strebel.
Hey, Round Daddy, James Strebel. Gotcha.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Not that it's going to happen, but I'm interested. How many days of paternity leave do you get at ESPN Louisville?
That's a great question.
That is a great question.
Yeah, the program director doesn't know. That's great. All right, how about that?
I just show up.
I know. That's... Yeah. An apt description of your job. All right, lunch drop. I'm kidding. I have to tell everyone I'm kidding now. Avery, I'm kidding.
Welcome back to the show. It's the Roundtable here on ESPN 680 105.7. I'm James Jewell. Max Gobby with me today. James Black as well here. Having a good time. Thanks to Dr. John Wong for coming on today and regaling us of his antics and stories there in Omaha. Hey, everybody. It's the weekend. Get your cigars. Get your beverages. Get ready for a hot one this weekend in Cox's Evergreen Liquors. They've got you covered. 27 area locations. Walk in, drive through delivery. Cox's Evergreen Liquors, that's Louisville's go-to liquor store. They got the wine, domestic beer, craft beer, imported beer, bourbon to mix, high shelf bourbon, and more. They have it all. They have all the party supplies. It's a one-stop shop. Go ahead and check them out. Cox's Evergreen, Louisville's go-to liquor store, coxslouisville.com. 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. I've been teasing this sound forever now, but Mark Pope sat down with WDRB's Tyler Griever for a long form discussion. It's about a 12-minute interview, so I sent that along to our good friend Zach Cantrell to have him cut it up for us today. And so James Black, how many sounds are there? There's five sounds. Okay, five Mark Pope sounds. Anything specific that sticks out to you that on there that is labeled that might be tantalizing for us?
The fact that the one main one you wanted, I don't see here.
The one that talked about when he was hired?
I mean, yours said something about Barnhart. This says something about Tubby Smith and...
I think that's it. I think you'll play that one first. So I think this one's about his, like, what he found out. Because basically the question Tyler Griever asks is, when did this become a reality to you about becoming Kentucky's head basketball coach?
You got to do something about the communication. Barnhart, Tubby, and that means the same.
Yeah, Barnhart and Tubby. It's same guy. All right, James, go ahead and play that sound. Let's go.
Yeah, so it was really interesting because, I mean, I don't know how much time you have. I can tell you the whole story. Saturday morning, I'm in the lounge and I see John Calipari and Tubby Smith, and I went over and fanboyed. I'm like, you know, both those guys have been so generous to me. They're both Hall of Fame coaches.
Yeah.
And so I went and talked to them a minute and actually took a picture. It's Saturday morning, the Final Four.
Okay.
And I think none of us had any suspicion that anything was in the wind.
Yeah.
And then 24 hours later, everything's in the wind. There's all this upheaval about what might happen or might not happen. And then probably 24 hours after that, there was like, you know, kind of seventh party kind of feelers, but not really legit anything that. And then it became, I'm just seeing everything you guys are seeing. And so it seemed like that Scott was going to take the job, and it made a lot of sense. And still kind of wondering if there would be some space. And then really the pivotal moment for me was Wednesday night. Kind of wrote it, you know, it was like, okay, this is great. This is awesome. I'm a fan. I love Scott. He's going to kill it here. It's going to be great. I'm going to keep, you know, cheering. And then put it to bed. And then Thursday morning, woke up to a text where I was like, oh, hey, you know, this might the winds might be changing.
Wow.
And then after that, it was a matter of hours.
Yeah.
And then we're here, and that's how this profession works, and certainly how it works here in Kentucky.
All right, so there you go. Even Mark Pope was convinced that Scott Drew was going to be the next coach at Kentucky and had prepared himself for that. So, it wasn't even really Max on his radar that he was even going to be contacted or connected to this Kentucky job. And he had just, like the rest of us, assumed Scott Drew is going to fly there, which he did, accept the job, accept the contract, and then he'll move on. And then it sounds like there that Mitch Barnhart didn't really like the Dan Hurley stuff and everything else around that wasn't very serious. That's kind of the gist I get, because he gets it Wednesday night, feels like Scott Drew. Next day, he gets a text, hey, all of a sudden there's feelers out now that Mark Pope may be the next guy.
Which is, it adds some validity to kind of what we're saying, especially with the Kraft airplane tracker.
Oh my gosh, it was terrible. All we heard
but
was that.
But it brings some validity to it.
Yeah.
That it was close that it was going to be Scott Drew. And that makes me wonder, when Pope got the call,
yeah,
of how, where was he on the list at that point? Because Barnhart says that he was one of the top tier selections.
Right.
But I just wonder if your eggs, because apparently, from what I've heard, like, Scott Drew was the heir apparent for like the past 5 years. Apparently.
Oh yeah, he'd been tabbed. Yeah. As whenever Cal Perry
leaves,
either calls it quits or goes to another job. I mean, it's Scott Drew's the first, second, and third phone call. Like, it was him, and that was it. I mean, that was the worst kept secret in Lexington in regards to Kentucky basketball, was that Scott Drew, as you called him, was the heir apparent. And, I mean, it sounds like, Max, if he wasn't the third option, Mark Pope, he may have been the second option. He may have been option two. I don't think Barnhart deviated too far from what his top two or three candidates were.
Right. And maybe he was hired because of his reputation, because of who he is on being an alum from Kentucky.
Yeah.
And understands what this job is.
Yes.
Which is, oh, what's been the theme so far? It's been like, you get a stud coach, and then you get someone that's been a part of the program, and then you get an outsider. And it's like, it's of like from the levels of UK coaches.
Yeah.
Because it was like Adolf Rupp, then you got Joe B. Hall, mm-hmm. who won one title and was really good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But finally kind of overstayed his welcome. Then you, who was the next?
Eddie Sutton.
Eddie Sutton.
And he got fired because of all the scandal and
exactly.
Everything. Yeah.
Who wound up not being good. Then you had
Patino,
who wasn't in the inner circles of Kentucky.
No, not at all.
Was a stud.
Yeah, stud left. Outside hire. Yeah.
You brought Tubby in, who has connections to the program.
Yep, was
won one
coach.
Title, got chewed out. Brought another guy in.
Stud.
For the most part. But yes, stud.
Yeah, he was.
I mean, No.
Oh, for Billy Gillespie. Yeah,
Billy
I'm sorry. I try to block that out of my memory.
Yeah, exactly.
But yes, he was neither a stud or an insider. He was a completely off-the-cuff hire. Like, that was, thinking about that now, because you bring up a great point here. The timeline for Kentucky basketball coaches seemed to have followed a pattern. And Billy Gillespie
was not part of that pattern. He wasn't a stud, and he wasn't an insider. He was a dude at Texas A&M that had a good run with a good player, and Barnhart was like, yeah, we'll get that guy. He beat Louisville in the Sweet 16 or whatever it was and brought him in. That's a great take by you.
It's just human nature. It's what we do with presidents also.
Yeah.
You go Clinton, Bush, Bush, Obama, Obama, Trump, Trump, Biden. It's just like we give everyone a chance, But it's but I think that's just no one really knows how to right the ship when it comes to a high level leader. Especially in athletics, and I think in politics also, we try to go just the knee-jerk reaction to the exact opposite of what we're used to.
Right.
You look at Brooks. Brooks was an outsider, and you decided we want to bring someone in that knew the program, which was Joker.
Yeah.
And after all that happened, they're like, no, we need to go out and get just a outsider that's going to be able to build this team. You look at Louisville. Louisville had a lot of success with the likes of Petrino during his first stint here, of a guy that was an outsider.
Yeah.
Charlie Strong. Craig Thorpe. I've probably a lot of Louisville fans forget about Craig Thorpe.
Just like I forgot about Billy Gillespie.
But that one turned out to be a dud. But Charlie Strong, great hire. Bobby Petrino the second time. Moments. Pittered out.
But in the end, it was a bad deal.
But this is the first time, really, I think, that Louisville has hired a head coach in football that has that connection.
Part of that family tree.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's a great point by you.
It seems Kentucky is more enticed to get someone who's originally from that program.
Right, has some type of ties to the program, where Jeff Brom's really the first guy. Because
him and Kenny Payne, just in the same... What was that? Same year?
Or two years apart.
Year apart.
And well, and for, you know, back to Louisville football, I mean, Scott Satterfield was an outsider as well. I mean, he had no connections. He's out in App State. He didn't have any connections to the program whatsoever. So, no, it's very interesting. And it's very telling that that Mark Pope brings that up, kind of like, hey, yeah, it was actually pretty soon after the Scott Drew news hit, and it hit fast. It was all of a sudden, it was like Scott Drew, we may
that
make a
morning,
pitch.
Yeah, and then that afternoon,
and then afternoon it was like, oh yeah, by the way, it's probably going to be Mark Pope, and that's when I had my meltdown.
You went no, and Jeff Lightsey was like, yes,
yeah. Oh, Jeff Lightsey was having the time of his life. I was just trying to stay afloat. I was just trying not to lose my mind at Twin Peaks with that frosty cold beer mug right in front of me. Texter, Kentucky coaches great, good, drunk. Petino, Tubby, Billy Clyde. Another texter says the same thing. Great, good, drunk is the pattern you're looking for.
Well, we know Pope won't be the drunk.
No, Pope definitely won't get, because he didn't drink. Cal didn't drink either. Cal was not a drinker. The only time I ever recall Cal being inebriated is that very famous sound of him talking about UK baseball a few years ago. Have you ever heard that sound?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. It's great. And when the fat lady sings and we'll smoke a cigar and we're going to the World Series. Probably my favorite Cal sound ever, because he didn't drink very much. Texter, I like Pope, but if Dan Hurley wasn't a top two candidate, then what malfeasance by Barnhart? And part of me agrees with you. I don't know how serious the Hurley stuff was.
And here's the thing, though. Like, if the dude was like, it's... I get exactly what he's saying. You have to. If you're Kentucky basketball, you had to throw something at Hurley.
Right.
And make him say no.
Right.
Now, how much sincerity was behind it is a completely
That's
different
the
story.
Question.
But also, did it all, like, let's say, I'm trying to think of a good example for football, but it's like everything comes back to Alabama. But it could be, who's someone that's just built just a juggernaut program that wasn't a great program?
Recently, it's hard to find in football.
Dabo's a great example.
Yeah.
Not in a lot of things, but Dabo is a great example for this.
Yes.
He took a mediocre program, and it's gone to a next level with Dabo there, especially during that stretch. It would be like for Alabama. Let's say Nick Saban retired after that. Dabo Sweeney has that connection with Alabama. He played at Alabama.
Yes, absolutely.
He was under Stallings. And Alabama knew Dabo's not going to leave Clemson.
Right.
Like, he's not. But you still have to make the offer.
Sure. You still have to talk to him. Yeah.
But again, how are you putting as much resources looking into getting Dabo Swinney, or are you looking elsewhere at a DeBoers at Washington? If he's going
to
say yes.
I think that's the best way to see it is he had to make the overture to Hurley, but he always had Mark Pope in his pocket.
Right.
He always is like, okay. I think that's a fair question, the seriousness, the validity to which they offered Dan Hurley. Like, how aggressive were they?
How authentic was that 11 mil, if it was 11 mil?
If it was 11 mil, because we don't know the exact number. These are the numbers that are bandied about by fans and message boards and media.
Everything that was told to me was an offer was made. I just don't know the sincerity of that offer.
Right.
Or how much effort was put into it.
Aggressiveness.
I don't think it was as aggressive as potentially the Lakers were, if the Lakers even offered.
I think you're right. I mean, the Lakers.
Again, remember, it's the agents.
Yes.
It's the agents. Mark Pope may not have known that Kentucky was at his doorstep, but his agent knew.
Sure.
And his agent was there saying, hey, if Scott Drew says no, Pope boy's your guy. Get old Popey boy back to Lex. Come on, show me the money. Show me the money.
And
there's Pope just like, I talked to Tubby Smith, and I talked to John Calipari. Who would have thought of how crazy everything was?
Now here I am.
And then all of a sudden he gets a call and goes, you're going to Kentucky. What?
Oh, okay, yes. Yes, I'll take that job right now. No questions asked. Texture says, LOL, so now UK wants serious. Wasn't serious about the Hurley offer. The bleep is deeper than Godby's chicken coop. I'm not saying Kentucky wasn't serious. I don't know how serious they were.
Dan
Hurley said no. If he said no, he said no. I'm not trying to sit here and say like, we didn't want him anyway.
If Kentucky put the effort into it, they would have taken Hurley's hook, line, and sinker.
They couldn't
refuse Kentucky. No, what I'm saying is I think Kentucky knew that they weren't going to get him.
That's probably the best way to put
Kentucky
it.
Kentucky knew that they were not going to get him away from UConn.
Yeah, yeah.
That's in my opinion. So it wasn't.
I think that's right.
It wasn't like Kentucky is like, if we really wanted Hurley,
we really would have gotten.
We would have gotten him.
Yeah,
that's not it.
That's not how I read it.
No, yeah. I think it's legit. Kentucky knew that they weren't going
to
get him.
Yeah, we had to offer him. We know we're not going to get him. We had to have somebody right away to, you know, soften the blow. Like, okay, so we didn't get Dan Hurley. Now what? Now who do we go after? So it's like, okay, we didn't get Hurley. Here's Mark Pope.
Yes.
I think that's probably the most realistic scenario. The way Mark Pope puts his timeline out there, that sounds like what happened.
Someone that represented Kentucky went to Hurley and said, hey, we want you. Here's an offer. No? Okay. So you had a third party working on that. Then you had the university working on Scott Drew and then working on some contingents just in case.
Yeah.
That's what I think it was.
And that's the smart way to do it. I mean, you don't be left with your, you know what, hanging in the wind. Like you've got to be able to have something to fall back on quickly so you don't look like you're a fumbling mess and it drags out for 3 weeks and where we still don't know who it is. We got this guy, and I don't know. It was easy for Mitch Barnhart to wrap it up after being told no by Scott Drew and Dan Hurley by saying, okay,
struck out that quick.
He knew Mark Pope was going to say yes, and he'd already been working probably back channels, like you said, with his agent. So the way Pope lays it out, that seems to be the most likely scenario.
But if UK wanted Dan Hurley, they really would have gotten him.
All they had to do is just be a little more aggressive.
Dan Hurley doesn't fit the blue bloods of Kentucky.
You know what? I want a cat running this program. I don't want some dirty dog, some husky.
Call me old-fashioned. But I want a former UK Mormon to run the program.
Call me old fashioned. You ever watch the sketch comedy show called The State?
No.
On MTV? It was actually really funny. Okay, so you know the show Reno 911?
Yes.
Okay, so like all the people on that show, not all of them, but most of them, some of the major characters, they were all part of this sketch comedy troupe called The State. And it was hilarious. It was only like 3 seasons long, but it was really funny. And one of the characters was the old-fashioned guy. And he'd start off the sketch, dude, he'd be like, I might be old-fashioned. And he'd rattle off something like completely like crazy and nuts. He'd be like whittling a stick by a pond. And that just reminded me of that. Sorry, it's totally off topic.
Have you ever seen the new It's not new. It's been out for a little bit, but the stand-up show on Netflix, I Think You Should Leave.
No, I haven't seen that yet.
The guy you've probably seen him as a meme.
Yeah,
he's the guy that who's wearing the polo shirt. He goes, "I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about
yes,
any of
I know,
it."
Okay, I know
it's
about.
His show. It is the most uncomfortable comedy I've ever seen. You know, just that comedy where it's just like it's so funny, but it's just like these awkward situations.
Yeah,
he's the hot dog guy. Also,
oh, he's the same guy. Okay, I know exactly yes. who you are. Who you talking
look
about?
Look it up on Netflix.
What's it called again?
It's called I Think You Should Leave.
I Think You Should Leave. Okay, I'll check that up. Check that out. Texter, queue up when Big Rig found out that UK was looking at Pope. Yes, we know. We know what it sounds like when Popey
no,
boy.
No, no,
no, no. Like he's going. Yeah, 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 yeah. Swimming in those waters. Texter, did you see the Hurley quote and a retweeted dude might be nuts? No.
Oh, what? I saw that. When oh,
did,
gosh,
no, I didn't yeah, see. Yeah, okay, please. So this is Hurley? Okay, let me see here. What did Anna retweet Dan Hurley say? He is nuts. He's a fantastic basketball coach, but he's legit crazy. Let me see here.
To have that high level of success, you have to be.
Yeah, you have. No, absolutely.
You have to be off.
Okay, here is this it? All right, this is it. Okay.
Yeah, read
it. It says here, I use it to my advantage as a coach in terms of asking them for a heavy commitment, Hurley said. I had made my decision before I went in there, but I kind of demanded a commitment of excellence from them in there, and they didn't really know what I was doing when I went in. So it was like, whatever you guys say and commit to is going to be the deciding factor, which was a lie. I already had decided. That's why I like coaching guys this age. They're dumber than NBA players. I wouldn't have been able to pull that off in the pros, but I got a great commitment from the group, and I told them. Is that real? Is that real?
I don't know.
He says the college players are dumb?
I mean, relatively speaking, I mean, they don't have developed brains. I mean, so by definition, I mean, yes, but there's a better way.
That's a better way.
Not as experienced.
What the hell? That's real. It's a real quote. What the hell? The college players are dumber than NBA players. I don't know if that's the best recruiting pitch. calling your prospective players dumb.
Dumb.
He's going to win. I don't understand that one. That one to me, that's a little over. I mean, yeah, they're dumber. These college kids, they're dumber than NBA players. In what context?
I mean, to his defense, I'm not all for degrading your players, but I mean, have you met a smart college student?
Yeah.
They're all dumb.
Not all. They're not. Well, I mean, there's dumb NBA players. There's dumb NFL
there's
players
dumb
and dumb people, period.
There's dumb people.
In any walk of life.
But you put a kid on a college campus for like half a semester, and they've got the whole world figured out.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah.
It's annoying as all get out.
I get what you're saying, but I don't know if that just means that they're dumb. I think that they're misguided and naive. I think there's some
you're
of that.
You're using education talk.
I am using education
you know what?
Talk.
No, I'm siding on Hurley on this. College kids are dumb.
College kids are dumb. All right. Well, it's not going to hurt them one way or the other. Hurley's going to be fine.
That's
a bold statement. Then basically saying they're going, I went in there and I already knew my decision. I lied to them and I knew I wasn't going to take the job. See you later.
Get your money.
Yeah, no, I
get your money.
I don't blame him for anything. Texter, Kids in the Hall was originally where the state came from. I don't think that was accurate because the Kids in the Hall sketch actors weren't a part of the state at all. So I don't think that's Kids in the Hall was great too.
I'm out of my element.
This is early mid 90s sketch comedy talk right now. It's very people love this. Texter, Virginia's lost to NC State in walk off fashion. Locke can suck it, and I don't. Oh, NC State, North Carolina, and I don't like North Carolina, but F it. That's from Seamhead Dennis. Oh, wow! So the Cavaliers took the L to North Carolina. How about where you at, Locke? Where you at? A couple more here. We'll take a break. Get to the mixtape. Texter, Great Good Drunk is a KSR reference. LMAO. Why'd y'all do that to me? Why y'all give me KSR stuff on the text line? I don't know what it
Manny
is.
Manny Banks strikes again.
I can't believe Manny Banks is in Europe and he's still
He's still coming after me. What the hell? I can't have one day without KSR ruining my show. I'm kidding. That's how you know I don't listen to KSR. I had no idea what they were talking about.
I thought it was clever. I was like, wow, two clever people.
I did too.
We got punked.
I did get punked. James, any chance of getting the Strebel Tilt-A-Whirl sound? Maybe next week, because we got to get to the mixtape. All right, let's go ahead and take a break. Get to the mixtape here on ESPN 680 1057. We'll see you. Justin Sofer and James Black have cooking for us after this.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Welcome back to the Roundtable with Round Daddy. Now here's Round Daddy, James Strebel.
Inside Churchill Downs, right after the show, right after the mixtape, 6 p.m., as part of our additional programming here on ESPN Louisville. That includes Wednesday's Louisville Sports Live, 7 p.m. on 93.9 The Ville. Soccer City on ESPN 680 1057 every Thursday, 6 p.m. Tomorrow, we've got you locked in as well. Down the stretch, 9 a.m., 93.9 The Ville. Victory Formation Sports Show with Jeff Leitze and James Black, 10 to 11 on 93.9 The Ville. And then Sunday, we wrap it all up with the Sunday Morning Hangover, 10 to noon. Nick Kern, Phil Baker, Zach Cantrell, ESPN 680 1057. There we go. Let's go ahead and get into it. It's the mixtape. It's Friday. You know what we do. Let's roll.
Time now for Justin.
Oh, this is from a slice of gabagool.
Sofro.
Mixtape.
Save that for the mixtape.
The mixtape.
Damn it!
Presented by Tri-State Men's Health.
And we all know how erections work.
And behind the board, it's...
I'm James.
All right, James. What's the first sound of the week?
Everybody in radio, as you know, is a selfish and insecure bastard.
Well, Bob's got a point there. It's not that, especially the hosts.
I wanted Justin's take on that 4 o'clock open.
Oh!
Oh.
No comment otherwise. I'm not going to do it. No comment on the radio.
Yeah.
It's clear.
Yeah. Oh, sensuous.
Louisville are a preseason top 25. It depended on where you're looking. I mean, maybe not Rothstein, but Aaron Torres.
Somebody
maybe
not here, but there. Right. Torres,
yes,
there.
Torres, yeah.
Aaron Torres
25.
Yesterday, and
yes.
Then we were in Goodman's. Now,
yes.
The Goodman's,
he's slanted. You could say it's slanted.
He's slanted,
yeah.
But Torres isn't. So
no, he isn't.
You got to quit throwing water on Goodman. He is a tool in your toolbox that you are neglecting.
I don't trust that jaw.
What's the odds because of the previous history?
We got to set him straight here. I mean,
I don't
Goodman is going to be touting Louisville, and you're going to be like, oh.
He really is. And, yeah. And in the Kloman thing, he said apparently Goodman has some story that he hasn't told yet about Kelsey that's like supposed to be really, really good. Boom, like Kloman said this during, he's like, I'll let Jeff tell it whenever he feels like telling it because he's got his own platform and stuff. But like he's got some good stories about, you know, PK as well. So like,
that's cool.
Goodman's going to be around, Mark. You got to get used to seeing
him. I know,
he's on your side.
Yes,
but I don't. Yeah, but I, you know, they're
trust
double
him
agents
publicly.
Everywhere.
That's fine. Then you be a double agent. But you're
I'm not going to be a double agent. I like Louisville. Always have.
Okay.
And it's never changing.
I'm not going to flip-flop like old Goodman.
Tell him
you,
why.
By the time you're 60, you're going to, when you explain why you hate someone, it's going to be a maze that nobody but you is going to follow, and you're going to forget.
So,
because this person was there and did that. Well, Grandpa, why don't you like Jimmy?
I've let bygones be bygones. I've forgiven Haley Van Lith.
That's
yeah, right.
Okay, that's
a
you need to lie like that when you talk about Goodman.
Thank you, Drew. And by the way, I stand with Blank on that. He likes Mark Pope too. I don't trust Goodman.
I've let it go.
When,
she's
when
not
did,
with Mulkey anymore.
When did the forgiveness of Haley Van Lith?
Oh,
that's what I was saying. Like, did you?
No, I forgive. She's at TCU now.
He's not forgiven her.
When she went to LSU, had she won a national championship, she would have never have been eligible for forgiveness. But after Caitlin Clark burned her and embarrassed her, that was her penance.
That feels like permanent forgiveness, doesn't it?
No. It's forgiveness. I'm okay.
There is no unconditional sports love for Mark Blankenbaker.
I'm okay with her now, and I may even cheer for Team USA in the Olympics.
The 3-on-3 team?
Oh, maybe. Boy.
Now, if Haley Van Lith came back to the Yum Center.
Do we need to queue up some Haley Van Lith sound? Because it's pretty damning.
No, I mean, but that's when it happened.
But you can't get over Goodman, who is now on your side.
I don't trust him.
So the fan base is going to be confused. They're like, hey.
I don't trust him.
He flip-flops like John Kerry.
He is a weapon you are not utilizing.
Yeah,
you're not utilizing the full power of the Death Star.
And I don't want to be Kenny Payne. I want to use all the weapons.
There we go.
He didn't quit on Louisville. Like they quit on him.
Whoa, Nick Valvano.
Nothing drives me nuts more than when dude's shoes come off, man. I don't know what it is. It's just something about it. I mean, tie your stinking shoes.
Oh, you saw it.
I mean, the funny thing is I make such a big deal about it. And then every once in a while, man, like I'll jump into a scout, right? I'll tell the scout team point guard to get out. And I still got a little bit in the tank, even though I'm 49, a year away from 50. And, you know, my adrenaline gets going a little bit.
Right.
I get out there and I start knifing guys with some backdoor cuts and things like that. Well, I plant it, my stinking shoe comes off. And I'm telling you what, the place exploded. And I tried my best to dive for that shoe and they got it first. And the protocol is when your shoe comes off in practice, if I can get to a first, I get it and I throw it up into the rafters. So they got me and it was a little bit of egg on my face, but you live and learn. Maya Angelou, one of the greatest poets in the history of our country, was a part-time faculty member. She taught one class a semester at Wake Forest, and Ryan Kelly's mom was the headmaster at Ravenscroft School down in Raleigh, and she loved Maya Angelou's work.
Right.
And Maya Angelou had never met with a recruit before, but she's a faculty member, so she's allowed to, and somehow, some way, we were able to get a meeting with Maya Angelou, and I'm like, we're going to get this kid.
Right.
We walk in, and we're standing there in this room, and they look in. It's kind of dimly lit room, and we walk in. You can see her kind of like sitting facing the window away from us. And we walk in, and it's like real quiet. And we're looking around, looking at each other like, well, what is going
on? What's
going
to happen, man?
And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, she just like busts into this poem, and it's powerful and it's loud. And I look over and Ryan Kelly's mother is crying. And I'm like, we got this kid. It's stinking over.
Stinking again.
Maya Angelou, mom crying, Ryan Kelly. 3 days later, he committed to Duke. So, not the happiest ending to the story.
You win some
and you lose some.
You stinking win some, you stinking lose some. RIP Maya Angelou, by the way. Pope went out and hired. He didn't hire all BYU. Only Cody Fager. Everyone else, he hired big guns.
You kind of got some PK glasses going for you right now.
Well, I got these before Pat Kelsey, to be fair.
We're going to picture that and tweet it out.
That's pretty cool to hear, and you know that Brahms and the Kelsey staff are kind of intermingling, and Brady is a beast. Like I'll just let you know. Like I think that there's an agenda that Brady has for his dad every day.
The weirdest thing in the world
actually like goes with it.
Y'all's obsession with Brady
when it comes
Brahms
to like recruiting.
Yeah. Odd. I'm sorry,
sophomore, odd. Right?
I don't know if he can drink alcohol yet. He's a heck of an operator. You know, I think that when we started up, I think a little bit of it was like kind of a joke for fans and stuff like that. But it is like
a real deal
thing.
That's very much real. Yeah. Like I've talked to recruits, like the guys that have committed and stuff. And it's like, who was the first coach, like whether it's on air, off air, that contacted you first? He's like, Coach Brahm, not Jeff, Brady.
Like Coach Brady. like that was the first one.
Coach Brown.
Yeah, Coach Brown. That's what they referred to him as, like Coach Brady Brown. I was like, he was the one
that
contacted me first when I entered the portal. Or he was the one that contacted me first.
It does make sense. I wouldn't call Brady an administrator, but he certainly is an operator.
Yeah.
And I don't exactly know like how to slot him there.
Yeah.
But it's a real deal thing. And he's picking up guys. Seen him when we met Chucky Hepburn at the airport.
Yes.
Brady Brown was there.
He was there.
Yeah.
Great. Is he Mark Pope?
not at the airport. I mean, that's only one time.
Oh, okay.
You know, I mean, that's so irregular for coaches to do.
But it's one thing to help, obviously, the football team, the team that you're associated with, your dad, all that stuff. It's another thing to say, for 3 weeks, I thought he's working for us.
Yeah.
Like, what? For 3 weeks, you thought Brady was working on Kelsey's staff? Like, yeah. How does that, or like, that's incredible. Like that, to hear that, like, oh, okay. Like Brady's very serious about this.
Yeah.
He never
neglected. Like a joke before.
Yeah.
And I was like, I got to talk to Brad. I'm like, he seems to be everywhere.
Really is.
And then I was lining up interviews like on those Twitter spaces and I was dealing with Brady.
Weird. It's weird.
I'm going to tell you what, those dudes, the Brahms, that whole staff over there, you guys, I don't know if you guys know, but man, they're a big reason and a big part of our success. From day one, man, they embraced us. They showed us the ropes. They, anyway, think about it. We took the job and it was on. Like, we had visits the next week, you know what I mean? And, golly, man, Brady is a beast. I thought he was working for us for about 3 weeks. He was that in tune and that committed to helping us. And, you know, those guys have been absolutely amazing. So I can't wait to give them as much support and pay back what they've helped us with at some point.
Is that Brady Brown or Nick Saban?
Louisville fans with a chance to boo Cal and Kenny and DJ Wagner?
Yeah.
Like, it's
and it, Big Z?
It, yeah,
cares about Big Z.
It writes itself. Cron Davis, cousin?
It's Ted, you got
Lawrence can't do anything for them. Right? Like, they're not even using that for something. Like, Lawrence can't help them right now. That's just yeah. But Lawrence can be a fan now. And Lawrence can remember that. And everybody else can see that. Props to them. That made me feel good. Just about awareness. Because I'm like, isn't that the thing we've praised maybe more than anything else? It's just sort of the general awareness of how stuff's going to sound, how it's going to look, how it's going to land, how it's going to make people feel.
You're being watched all the time.
That's not what I said. Pat Kelsey is Santa Claus.
The NSA.
Legitimately, you're under a microscope.
Pat Kelsey's the NSA.
That's exactly what Bobby 2.0 did when he had his lackey running around banning Cardinal fans from the Louisville football Twitter account. Remember that?
Oh,
stupid,
yeah.
Andy Wagner blocking
Andy
people.
Wagner.
Just like that.
Just full blocks of fans. Just people like not even realizing they were blocked by Petrino. And it was great because people be like, I didn't even say anything about him.
Yeah.
I might have criticized like anything negative about football. It's like, bam! You're gone. You're out of here.
Tough loss, guys. We'll get him next week, though.
Not you. Out of here.
We'll get him next week. You're out of here,
what's
pal.
This we? Yeah. I'm done with you.
Kelsey does, like, apparently legendarily great deep background research on, I mean, deep, you know, all coaches do, I'm sure. And maybe his isn't, I don't know how different it is from another guy, because I don't know what methods he uses. But my understanding was there was just something that in there that just, it wasn't going to work. They're going to pass.
Yeah.
The Pat Kelsey passed on this. And then it was, you know, he does all this research. And then who knows, you know, what kinds of things that Kelsey does to try to, you know, dive into someone's background. But there was just something there that just wasn't going to let it be a fit.
Stab me in the stomach, James.
He's
with
just
object.
Kind of a floozy out there, and I just
floozy.
Yeah, I wasn't all that sure about
floozy. This is 1922.
Recruit as a floozy.
My grandmother.
That's a first. I heard that one, boys floozy. And girls.
Floozy. How do you spell that?
Floozy.
I don't know, Jason. What else he did?
A floozy, a young woman who has casual sexual partners or who dresses and behaves in a sexually provocative way. I had no idea that was the definition,
whoops.
But I love that I used it. I love
yeah,
that I
no,
used
that's,
it.
Yeah, no, that's. I don't know that I love that he used it. Yeah, you know, it's. You know.
You used it.
Yeah, he's.
But,
a, he's
but you
a,
did.
A recruiting floozy is what he's been.
Damn. That's, you're killing old.
He's flirting
Hawkins.
With everybody. Hey. You know, like, mm-hmm. You know, and I'm just yeah. like, I don't want,
you know, just, you know, if I'm in college, I don't want the girl that flirts with everybody. That's not attractive to me.
Oh my
goodness. I'm good.
Oh,
all right. Just, you know, if you're interested in me, be interested in me. Don't be interested in Chase the Face. All right. You know, don't do that. Don't be interested in Keith.
He's compensating for something.
I was going to say to Locke, and his tweet to that is, get a better hog.
I mean, I've got a package.
There we go.
He has at least one tool in his tool bag.
This is what we were waiting for.
Yeah, the bulge is strong.
Right there.
That is Olympic level tuckage.
Oh, man.
We know how erections work. We also know that sometimes they don't work. And you know, if they're not working for you the way you want them to work, you have erectile dysfunction. And that's not a good thing.
That's good.
No, you're not the problem. You look great. You know, you want to let them. I'm just struggling.
Very thoughtful.
Struggling on myself.
Whoa.
This was 15 years ago.
So this was like in your prime.
This is my prime. Yeah, because we weren't married yet.
Endurance was high. Yeah.
Endurance was high. I could go all day into the night and not have a problem.
Oh, man. Not like that. I was talking about like drinking. Oh.
Get a better hog.
Not quit.
That's him knocking on wood.
Yeah.
A, age, B, girth.
Whoa.
A, age, B, girth.
Age and girth.
My big dad with Lightsy.
My
big dad with Lightsy.
What's it?
And your boy has a hose.
Thank you, Nick.
We all know how erections work.
My homage.
He fingertipped it and just got it out of there.
Oh.
Twist the D's.
Twist the D's.
Yeah.
Pull two off in Dallas. They were better as freshmen than they were as sophomores. They were better.
Ooh. Ooh. Tell John to keep 550 out of my 1,050 and give my 500 to my brother. And if he doesn't pay you, I'm coming home in a couple of weeks on vacation, and I'm going to come see him. I don't care who he is. He has my money, and it was a legitimate win. If he don't really think I won, he could take my brother and throw him off any roof in the Bronx. Whoa. I never told my brother this, but...
That New York Mike? Man...
I've stolen a couple, you know, from various people. Phil Baker being the most recent one. It's actually Phil Baker's dad.
What?
Like I took Jerry Maguire's dad.
I don't want to steal, but they're making me steal.
Blank.
I'm going to get a scholarship to King's College.
I am a person with money.
We know, Mark. We know.
I am a person with money.
Yes. That's great.
God forbid you want to get money.
If you're like,
I feel like that's very Republican. Why would you not want him to get money?
Well, it's why you're paying $4 for gas right now. If you're like Nick and the rest of the Cody Rhodes fans, let me tell you about Tri-State Men's Health, because erectile dysfunction is no joke.
Whoa, what a shot.
Oh, Steve, you just want to go to UFC because your favorite felon may show up there.
I called and I talked to English as a second language, whatever made-up American name she used.
Whoa.
You know, Jill. No, I know your name.
Your
is
name
not
is not Jill.
I know it's not your name.
Let's
fine.
Not start
it's
with
fine.
A lie.
It's
yeah.
fine.
Just tell me what your real name is.
It's fine. We don't have to start with a lie. Correct. Death to America.
Oh!
Death to America.
Oh, Drew!
I'm just going to take 45. 45 is mine. 45 is mine.
I log in, Decent Inch shows up, and I look at him, he looks at me, it's kind of awkward, I'm kind of like...
Bruce Pearl with those East Coast libs. I am not a liberal.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't trust Biden.
Let's
go, Brandon.
Whoa.
Let's go, Brandon.
Whoa!
She's on a sailboat.
Wow.
With Andrew Bosch. And they're his uncle or her uncle or somebody. So they're doing a little sailing today. So
the Nina of the Pinta of the Santa Maria.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, a little world prestige worldwide. Yes.
I'm not going to finish that sentence with Anna involved in this combo.
No. Nope. Drinking sangria. That's all I'll say.
FIFA's just the worst run organization ever. So, I mean, they're so greedy.
Why would you? I mean, that thing was so good. It seemed like they had great, like, you could tie success from the game sales to interest in the sport.
Listen, all you have to do, if you want the game back, EA has to bribe a FIFA official. That's how that goes. Because once you send
a bribe. I was
going
to let the soccer guy talk about it.
Once you go right ahead. Once you do a bribe, FIFA will let, you know, the next thing you know, Qatar's getting the World Cup.
Cutter.
Andrew, I retract my remarks.
Can you say your last name real quick?
Brutamesso.
And he's not involved in, like, the Italian rankings.
Okay.
Bob got so mad. He's like, how was I not even listed?
I didn't get this.
Like, I was born and raised in an Italian household.
He's like, I'm the reason Nikki has.
I made that one.
It wasn't my fault.
Did you see Nick's haircut?
No, I heard you say it. I haven't seen it.
Oh, he's like 85% more Italian than he used to be. Yeah, he got his hair cut like Vinny from Jersey Shore.
It's not my fault. I wasn't able to finish the list because Anna and Nick lost their minds. And Justin Sofro, too, and Ince. Y'all lost your minds. I could never finish the list. Justin went on my Instagram. He found an Instagram picture of me in a sun hat, a Vipers, Go Vipers sun hat at the tournament this weekend. Is all the dads.
Yeah. Meat eaters shouldn't have to be exclusive to just one wiener.
Whoa.
That's a legit. That is a quote from Impossible Foods. Meat eaters shouldn't have to be exclusive to one wiener.
Yeah.
That's wild.
I just think all of it is theater of the absurd.
I wanted Phil as long as I can have him. Yeah.
Chip is licking. He was rummaging through Blankenbaker's bag.
He comes over like he's going to lick it off, and I'm like, well, I can't put it on.
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't be the worst idea. Calm him down a little bit.
What's Chip doing?
Go in and get the sack.
The quarterback. It still makes me weak in the knees. I'm just going to tell you right. Weak in the knees. I had to take a knee. Not like that, but I did. I fell to a knee.
I've had some great tips. I don't know what the best... I don't know what the best tip I've ever had is, but...
Yeah, Dontrell's was up there just from the... But he got so... Like, he was low maintenance and everything. Sometimes you've gotten some fat tips.
Yeah, I've thought about... This is terrible, but I thought about... There's been days I've just been having a bad day and you get stiffed. And I've just been stiff, like, I know tips. Who this is.
Little stiff tips.
Blowing off donors.
Oh, wow.
Kiss it and marinate it and smooch it and smack it up and flip it up and rub it down.
Whoa, damn, Diener.
You have no choice.
I think, yeah,
you're going to eat this whether you want to or not.
Now that Dan Hurley blew me off. Oh.
Sometimes I struggle with my tongue when I'm drunk, you know, like, so it's like I'm like, you know, like sucking and slurping and just looking like an idiot. And my girlfriend's looking at me funny.
Poor Jeff.
Magic is an average sized human being. And like a Carl Anthony Towns is just swallowing.
Yeah.
You blew it.
What a cerebral game. They all pitch, they all catch, and those are the two loneliest positions, honestly, is pitcher and catcher, because they're kind of like on an island all to their own. Like the pitcher, if he starts screwing, there's nothing baseball, it's baseball talk!
They're not big guys, but their ability, the amount of power that they're able to drive with how they move their hips while swinging is unreal.
It is.
If it's locked to the backside, there's going to be a gaping hole that's about ready to open up.
Oh, man, that does sound.
Crank it, baby. Let's go.
Keep it going until 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning.
There's a gaping hole that's going to open.
These guys are hitting it like ungodly speeds with amazing spin, and they're getting the balls that...
I've been, you know, hitting it hard.
Waiting for the clap,
right.
Leg lift.
The leg lift and the clap. Not
we want to get into Caitlin Clark. We want to get into Caitlin Clark.
Make him go inside.
Yeah.
Because I've given up my hip at that point. Make him go back inside and then post step back up, jam him.
It sounds so bad.
Very thick in the box.
Oh, man.
If you ever see a corner with staggered feet.
He's coming.
That's a dead giveaway that something's about ready to happen if he's that tight on top.
And, oh, dear God.
Oh, man. Man. That was orgasmic. Oh.
See, I'm not a...
But it can be too much sometimes. Yeah,
that's why. Like, it just, there's too much... When you have a cream, there's too much filling.
Thank you, Biscuit.
All the pokes and chokes and all the first down markers.
All
and holes.
The pokes and chokes. That sounds like a night at the McLean's.
Yes, it does. Pokes and chokes. All right, three more here before we get you into your Friday Inside Churchill Downs next. Finish on the mixtape. Three more.
And every time I looked at her Instagram, I saw like, Drew Diener.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Marcus has a bottle of what could only be piss sitting here.
Oh, is it one of those weird, like, it looks like it's in, like, a salad dressing bottle, and you're just like...
Nope, this is in a Fiji bottle. This is piss. There's no way around it. It's foam at the top. He's drinking his own pee.
That sounds like pee. That sounds like pee. It looks like pee. It sounds like pee. It probably tastes like pee.
It's pee. I guarantee if I touch this bottle... Oh, no. You sit over there and work on your hardware. Look, don't get involved in our show. All right. If I touch this bottle, I guarantee it's warm. That's warm piss. That's what
there was I can't remember who it was. I was like Marquez or something. I think that was fighting Floyd Mayweather, and he like part of his training. He would drink his own pee.
Yes, I remember that.
And I just remember he had a glass of it, like it was like a fine whiskey, and he took a sip, and he was like, yes, indeed.
All right, last sound. Here we go. Everyone have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon. Bye. Everyone have a great weekend. We all know how erections work.